When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality gate. Let's love.
I want to get drunk right now. Just want to get drunk.
I could fix you a drink.
No, I have to drive home.
You know what? I don't have any alcohol.
We have to stop the show. Y'all. That's how we started, and we're already stopping the show.
I don't have any alcohol.
What's wrong with Poodle?
Because I had a little bit.
Turn the camera.
What?
I'm turning the viewfinder.
Are we on?
Yeah, we're on. We're recording.
I had that much left of vodka in my bottle, and I didn't drink on Thanksgiving, and I did have like 2 drinks on Friday, and I think that's it. That was it.
I'm bored.
I am too. Asshole. You'll listen happily ever after. Season 7, episode 14, Stand By Me, which you never do. I'm lobbing you jokes, and you always, instead of me setting you up for something, you batter away like a cat. Yes, that's what you do. Y'all, happy Thanksgiving if you're coming back from it.
Oh,
hope everyone's recovered from their turkey comas. Or I had a chicken. I cooked a chicken this year.
Buttermilk.
I was being dangerous.
Buttermilk biscuits.
Buttermilk brined chicken. It's delicious. Samin Nosrat's recipe.
Did you cook it with the potatoes underneath it?
I did not, because I made potatoes in another form.
Ah.
If you're doing your chicken the right way, it won't
let out a lot of juice.
Juices. Yeah.
What did you make? You didn't talk about that on the last. You
didn't I'll say that, and then I'll end all the Thanksgiving talk.
Okay.
I made a potato casserole, which is like sometimes people call it funeral potatoes with the cornflakes on top. And
oh, that's true.
That is
yeah.
my very. It's a very family holiday thing.
Yeah,
that
you gotta
I grew
make
up
that.
With.
It's very.
I
good.
Made some Brussels sprouts with pomegranate seeds and pistachios.
In the air fryer?
Yeah, and a little bit of honey.
Do I need to get an air fryer? I don't really have a lot of space in my kitchen.
You don't have enough space.
Everybody says to get one.
You don't have
enough
space.
I don't have space. So I'm like, eh.
I have enough space in my kitchen. I leave it out. I hate pulling it back.
I don't like doing that either.
I would say wait till you get a bigger place.
Well, I'm not doing that anytime soon.
Or you can get him. You can get him for small, but I don't think y'all can come at him if you can have some small air fryers. Excuse me, I just burped.
Wow.
I won't hear it. You do it all the time. So I made that. I made my dressing. Mm-hmm. I made gravy, and this is the first year I've ever done this. You buy chicken wings. I made gravy the night before, a gravy starter or a gravy booster, and I beat the fuck out of chicken wings and cooked them down to where there was a fond and some.
Ina does a gravy starter, yeah.
And the gravy was the best gravy I've ever made in my life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
My
so
mom
good.
Fucked it up. She did. She didn't get thick enough. She fucked it up. Tasted like flour.
Oh, that's the worst.
You know, my mom used to be a really, really good cook, but then she just hasn't cooked
Stopped
in
doing
like
it.
15, 20 years. So she doesn't know how
Why
to do it.
Why doesn't she cook anymore?
I don't know.
I want her to cook, to love herself enough to cook for herself.
They just would rather order something.
Yeah, but you're not going to get, the food you get out is oversalted, over greasy. It's just, it's too rich.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Don't make your life of that because it's just not good for your health.
No, I just try to get my father to... As my
and we saw what happened there.
It didn't work. It's
didn't,
my fault.
Didn't go good.
Didn't go good. Didn't go good. Oh, Darcy and Stacey's going to be out in a month.
It will be.
6 weeks.
Stream Sisters, too.
Yeah, I once made it. Turn on Timey. We better left her last time. Y'all, sorry for our 30-minute Thanksgiving talk, but not sorry because this episode was boring.
I apologize for nothing.
Yes, but I once cooked something. And my dad said, "My aunt, that was okay, but just don't use them fresh herbs. They got a kick." And I went,
but that just tells relishes. You his... palate
yeah
and probably when you're not feeling well like he was supposedly you want something that is bland but
no that was just normal him. Yeah it's just normal
canned tamales
oh yeah
Vienna sausages
like my mom said oh I'm gonna make sweet potatoes she's like but I like to make them I just like to cook them a little bit with like a little bit of like a maple glaze or something. I went, well, that sounds good. I said, I don't really like the sweet potatoes with the mushrooms on it. And I looked and my mom had sweet potatoes from a can. And she opened the can of sweet potatoes and put them in a dish, poured some maple syrup on them and heated them up in the microwave.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Because that's what they grew up eating. Yep. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine on
it's
sweet potatoes.
It's a different generational thing with food.
Yeah.
My mother adapted.
No, but if I made homemade sweet potatoes like
she'd love
roasted
it.
In the oven, I remember one time I made broccoli with just onions and lemon, and she went, "This is the best thing." So my mom has the palate for it; she just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, that's a
her
lot
boyfriend
of people.
Doesn't though. Yeah. He won't eat. He's not a vegetable person. Doesn't like any of that. So he just wants meat and bacon and meat and cheese.
Well, good luck with that angioplasty.
I mean, he's got heart problems, too. So there you go.
Take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself,
everybody. You got to eat something green occasionally.
You got to do it occasionally. Anyway.
Anyway. Y'all, if you're watching Intimate Troy Portrait, you see I put up my Christmas tree.
Oh.
Christmas tree. Oh Christmas tree. How beautiful are branches.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't really know. That carol, I could never remember all the fucking lyrics. I always got that one confused.
You know why? Because there are different American lyrics. The original is a German O Tannenbaum.
No, I know it's O Tannenbaum.
Troy Zint.
But then when they translate it to English, I don't know why. I remember every other carol I used to sing, but I never could remember that. I think I remember the English translation.
O Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum. Wie Troy Zint deiner. Sorry.
We'll finish it.
Blätter.
There you go. But the English translation is not good. It's clunky.
Yeah.
Clunky lyrics.
Yeah. A lot of those. Anyway, I'm happy with my eye. One thing we were going to talk about on this episode, because we're coming up into the holiday season. We were going to talk about kind of picks for our Christmas tree.
If you're watching The Intimate Portrait,
you can see it in the background. It
Do you want to walk around and do a showcase and
I can't
hold the mic?
I can't hold them. Okay.
You can just scream at the microphone. Okay. Just scream at it.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go this way.
If you're doing The Intimate Portrait, y'all, you're getting a... Oh, here. You know what? I'm going to go behind the camera.
No, I'm going to do it like this.
And
this
is it. Ooh, Christina Hayes. I'm going to zoom in with the camera.
Oh, this could go really bad.
This is going to go really, really bad.
So, you guys, you can see I've...
This is going... Very. Okay. That's good.
Some of these, I bought some special hand-painted ornaments because I wanted something to have that's mine that I can, like, keep that's not from CVS. No shade for CVS ornaments or Big Lots ornaments. But I said, I want something that's, like, made by an artisan and something that's... So a couple of these are some stuff that I bought off of Etsy. Another things I bought off of Etsy are these little antique-looking ornaments.
Point to one.
Like this.
Point to one. Yeah, it right
this.
There. Yeah, okay. I'm focusing on it now.
Ooh, this.
Camera work. This is so close up on your face right now.
All right, I'm done. I'm uncomfortable. that's it. Anyway, this is my Christmas tree. It's tall and thin, which is good for my room.
Like a dick. Like a dick you want to have.
Yes, yes. One like that a hits dick. Deep.
Hits deep.
But let's... Okay, we're done with this section.
Okay.
I hate this.
I'm putting mine up tonight. I think... I don't know which one I'm going to put up. I don't know if... I'm probably just going to do my Wonder Woman tree this year, I think.
You have to do another tree besides a theme tree.
I don't know.
I'm a big believer that if you have a theme tree, you'd probably need another tree.
I like a traditional tree.
Yeah.
And then a theme tree. Problem is... I gave away my other tree last year, and I'm redecorating my apartment right now, and I'm like, do I want to spend $300 on a fake Christmas tree? Because I like a nice tree. Or do I want to buy two matching lamps to go on the side of my couch?
This is a really gay conversation.
This is a really gay conversation. That's where we are. I like your vintage ones, because I have a blown glass Christmas tree.
What are you doing?
I'm fixing the viewfinder. Oh. We're all over the place in this episode. Christina's going to be like, what the fuck?
So... but no, what I want to say is I could see it from the window, the new couple who's there, they have a theme tree, but it's all white with white ornaments.
And some people like a monochromatic tree. Not my thing.
It's not my thing.
Not
Y'all
my
do,
thing.
Do your theme trees. But to me, my tree is like me, a jumbled up mess of things from different places.
Yeah.
And it's a mess like me. And it is.
Well, it's prettier than you.
It's
on
a
the
lot.
Inside. You're messier on the inside. That's actually put together kind of well.
Yeah, it's a lot. Offense. And I'm pretty proud of my tree.
I love it.
I'll never have those glitter ornaments again. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, there's glitter all over your face.
And what I could not find, though, was a decent, I'll let you take this, a decent tree topper. I know. I didn't want to even talk about it because you've been complaining about it.
It makes me angry.
You can't, the tree that I have has a little thing you can plug into it because there are lights inside.
Yo, there's a new thing in Christmas tree land, and it's called battery operated tree toppers.
So why?
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Does that mean I have to climb up on my tree
if
it's higher?
What if you got a 12-foot tree? What if you have a 12-foot tree?
Take the pitch down.
What if you have a 12-foot tree?
I agree. So you means I have to get up there. If I get a battery powered one, I'm just leaving it on like a goddamn nightlight.
You're gonna knock it over like Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live.
That's
a dated reference.
They also need to be the tree toppers need to. They can't be that heavy because a lot of trees aren't that heavy up there. Because
I honestly would love. I've looked, but I get it. It's too heavy. I would love a kind of stained glass looking vintage type of tree topper, because I have a lot of glass and kind of vintage ornaments for kind of my normal tree.
Yeah,
can't find it. You always have to get something plastic. But then also, I don't like a tree topper that doesn't have light on it. It looks
odd. I agree.
I again, I'll repost it in the Sissy Squad if y'all want, but like, I look like a fucking twink. Like, when we used to live in our old house, I am so gay, I just made a video about five, remember I made a
unprompted.
I just was like, I'm going to make a video to tell people about how to decorate their Christmas tree.
I was uncomfortable.
But anyway, so I made that. I loved doing that. I had so much fun. But, and I stand by what I say, there should be light at the top of the tree because, as I said, it needs to be a star. I like a star or an angel, not a bow, because three wise men didn't follow a bow. Didn't follow a bow.
I'm not a fan of a bow on top either.
Whether you believe or not, it's still the tradition. We got to go along with the story. Let's at least like go with this.
I'm with you there. A bow, yeah. A bow is a no.
You know, I know that you put the Death Star at the top of your tree, but the three wise men don't know what the fuck that is. Although I kind of enjoy a Death Star at the top of the tree.
At least it's a symbol.
A symbol.
Bow, I don't know what that... Commerce?
Yes.
I worship money? Presents?
I don't like a bow. There's some people that put like the greenery fronds that kind of come out of the tree like the tree is about to come and just orgasm itself. I don't like that either.
It needs to be a star or an angel. I agree with you.
A star or an angel. But here's the thing. I've been looking for... I wanted to get a male angel.
So fucking gay.
Because I wanted to make a gay tree. And I went...
Strangely, biblically, the angels are mostly male.
That's true. Although the angel apparently over the manger was a woman, I guess.
Oh.
Was it?
I don't know.
You know what?
The angel of the Lord, I think it was probably gender neutral.
Thank you.
But in I don't know if the gender association of angels has been a big, but they normally have names like Michael, Gabriel. So
I don't know an angel named Louise. I don't.
But I think it does make sense there should be male angels. For some reason, you looking for one is gay.
No, it's very gay. I found an old vintage one that was
like a buff one. It was like an angel.
Well, I don't want one of those fucking merman angels. No, I want like a pretty, like I did see one and it was real gay. It was an old choir boy and he had his mouth open like he was singing. And I was like, that just looks weird.
No, that looks like you're sucking dick.
And then I found one that's at Neiman Marcus.
How long was this search?
About an hour and a half. And it was $1,000.
What?
Because it looks like the fucking Michelangelo of angels. And I'm like, I can't spend that. And also, it was $1,000, and it wasn't even lit up. You got to still have lights on it, because then what happens if you don't have light at the top of your tree? There's light all over your tree, and then there's just
the world ends, apparently.
This dark glob on the top of your tree, and it looks like God took a shit on the point of your Christmas tree at the top, and I don't like it. I have lots of opinions.
I know, you really do.
Anyway, we've been looking for and so I told Poodle, I said, you know what? I'm going to make my own tree topper company. And it's going to be called, what is it called? I don't remember.
Tops from a bottom. Tree toppers from a bottom.
Yeah, tops from a bottom. Tree toppers by a bottom. Tops from a bottom. I love it.
I think
And
it
I'm
going to
make beautiful.
You should go on Etsy. Maybe
I've looked
something.
On Etsy. Could not find a male angel on Etsy.
Y'all come at her with a male angel.
I would love a male angel. I would love it.
Under $40.
I would spend $100 on a really pretty tree topper.
I believe I don't like really, really fancy. I'm not buying Christopher Radko ornaments. I know a lot of people love them.
Some of them are really beautiful.
But he has
some pretty tree toppers.
When I was looking at those vintage ornaments that I found on Etsy,
pretty stars.
I found all of those that someone had found for like $50. But they were all minis. They're little tiny ones.
You can't find stars. It's just a lot of the stars are battery operated right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they're not plugged. So,
yeah. I also get something. I like this. Get something that's either hand painted or crafted or your local craft fair. What is the one you call it? A fair of the heart?
A fair of the heart.
I still feels like that sounds like a movie starring Helena Bonham Carter.
You'll see when we just emailed them today to do our collab with Jen and Pumps. I've had it podcast, and they're gonna validate my Oklahoma.
A fair
stores.
Of the heart.
Yes, it's a real thing. I'm pretty sure Jen hasn't gone. She probably is like, what the fuck, her?
Y'all, you know
I like
me.
That.
I'm freaked out by craft fairs. I have to go to one with ROA with my mother.
I do like a little bit of, I'm fine with a theme tree. I actually really am. I think you like one time I went to a friend's house and they did Shag.
Yeah.
They did the Shag inspired tree and it was not any traditional Christmas colors and it was really beautiful.
Yeah.
But it fit in with their home and this is years ago, but I'm all about
See,
that.
I don't think your Christmas tree, it's there once a year. It doesn't have to fit in with your home.
But I don't think so either. But some people, that is important. They want it to fit in with the style of that. I just think it's, whatever it is, it should mean something to you.
Yes.
People that get a tree, they're like, oh, this just looked pretty. And I thought these look pretty. Okay, that's great. But I think whether, you don't have to believe in Christmas at all. I think, though, I think what's nice about the holidays is that it is a time for us to reflect kind of what really matters to us in life, what's important to us in life. And I look at things on my tree and I'm like you. I collect every time we go on tour places, I make us go somewhere and buy a Christmas ornament somewhere for my tree.
I don't do that.
You don't like it when I do it, but I'm like, Poodle, we got to stop it. And he's like, you got to get that fucking ornament for your tree.
Because
I like to collect when we go to different cities.
You have a lot. My mother is in the phase where she wants to give me things.
Oh.
Yeah. Where she's like, you need to have this for your tree.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
she finally realized you're not coming back home to live. She gave up on that.
I think she made that decision this year.
She said, Father Poodle Jaybird's not coming home.
God. I guess he's not going to come back here to live with us. But you and me and Muffin.
You and me, Muffin. So, God. I guess, you know what you should do?
He's going to come with me when the zombie apocalypse happens.
Did you know that you can take a picture of a dog and send it and they'll make a Christmas ornament in the exact likeness of your dog? What if you gave your mother a Muffin ornament?
I think that is ridiculous.
She would love it.
She would love it, but like, you know, there's something about taking a picture. I don't know if I want something so lifelike.
It's not about you. It's about her. She would
You know
love
what?
It.
She would love that.
Your brother would go, damn it.
We decided this year we're not going to do Christmas presents.
Oh, really?
The kids are going to get them. We're going to give the kids Christmas presents.
Oh.
We're all like to the point where like, if I need something, I buy it.
Yeah, my mother says that every year, and then she's like, "Well, I just got you something little. I have to get you something for Christmas."
Well,
My
mom will buy me something like $10 or something like that. But we decided. My mom's like, "It's just don't worry about it. We don't need anything," and she's like, "Let's just spend time together." So
that's great.
Yeah. That's kind of what we're going to do.
I'm going to say one more thing about decorating, then I'm done.
Oh,
I could
God.
Do a 2-hour episode about this. But I'm going to say it's I agree with you. You don't necessarily have to have a color theme for your tree. Sometimes I'll put ornaments on my tree. Like if I look at your tree and just see organically kind of what kind of colors pop out of it.
Yeah.
The tree is very green, but you actually have a lot of red.
I have a lot of red
tree.
Ornaments.
So I actually think what you did, which is nice, you like snow. I look at my tree and I go, is there like pops of a contrasting color I could put in that would complement that just kind of varied up? And you didn't mean to do this at all because I know you didn't even think about it, but you have some silver snowflake ornaments and those silver ornaments kind of those balls that you bought are really nice because they break up the green and the red.
That was intentional actually.
Don't even act like it was. You didn't know.
It was.
A silver ball popped out of your ass and you went, oh, I guess I'm going to use this.
Boop.
Boop. That's all I wanted to say.
Another one today. I laid another egg.
If you want more Christmas things, I'll post that video of me as a twink in the Sissy Squad.
Twink, really?
I never was a twink. More like a twunk.
Twunk is too muscled.
Oh, is that what a twunk is?
Yeah.
More like a twuz.
That means you were once, though. Let's just go twunk.
We were all twinks once. And I look in high school, and I was
you
a
were
twink
a twink.
Yeah, then. Wearing my Cole Haans and my Izod sweater, I was a twink.
I think that's just preppy.
Well, sometimes twinks can be preppy.
We made fun of the preppies at my high school.
Oh, not at my high school.
Yeah, the preps were considered to be stuck up. Yeah, you didn't want to be the preppy kid.
Well, I didn't want to be like the rest of the kids.
What was the normal fashion? Like
cowboy boots and.
No, I feel like I dressed in more than normal. And I was less preppy actually in high school. I was more preppy in middle school. That was a fashion in middle school. The kids that, but it was on par with the way people are dressed in high school. Actually, it was all about getting Nike Air Maxes and like t-shirts.
Yeah.
More that.
That's what I
remember.
That's
what I dressed more in high school.
Yeah.
So I think I was more twinky in middle school, actually.
I think I did. We had that phase of people, but those were the kind of rich kids. And in my thing, no one wanted to be those kids.
Mm.
Well, we were going alternative.
There were some kids that did that in high school, but I wasn't into grunge or any of that. Something just died above us. The neighbor just fell down.
There arose such a clatter.
The clatter. Poodle popped out a silver ornament out his ass and said,
"What's the matter?
What's the matter?" Okay, before we jump in, I just have one more question. Since we're talking about Christmas.
Jesus.
y'all, by the way, we haven't put the episode out yet. The Single Life Tell All. Holy shit. That's aired today on Monday. Have you watched it yet?
Not yet.
Oh.
You watched.
It is bonker donkers. Bonker donkers, y'all. It is good, y'all. It is good. So that's going to be some. So this episode was quite boring, but at least a Single Life Tell All is coming for us.
Good.
At one point, Sean Robertson, I think, shit her pants. She was so surprised.
Someone sent me a behind the scenes, and it was like hello from this emo thing, and it has picture of Caesar going hey, and every time Caesar waves the camera, hey, hey.
Okay, I was going to ask this: what's your favorite Christmas carol? Or do you want to save that for, let's save that for our Christmas live show.
I think we should save that for the Christmas live show.
Y'all, be sure, December, when is that going to be?
December 12th.
12th, y'all. That's going to be,
11th.
We'll send that link to.
I'm
going to
fuck this up. It's December 11th. I'm sorry. I keep saying 12th because that's another date. It is the 11th.
11th. Okay, I'll remember that.
It's our YouTube 11,
live. 11, manifest.
It's our YouTube, 12-11. Well, 12, it's 11. Our YouTube live.
For Reality Gaze Plus.
For our Patreon members, we're going to, I think we post the.
Well, we do it, and we do it as a post. So actually, Patreon and nobody on Supercast is on the $15 tier.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is for the Patreon people on the $15 tier, you'll get to watch it live while it's happening via YouTube Live. And then it'll be a private link. But then
on the Patreon.
We'll do it as a post for everyone in Supercast. We will, you know what, I think because you can't do a we will. Can we can't email people.
We can do a podcast. You can do a podcast it and you'll see the post.
We'll do a little audio. Yeah, we'll do an audio podcast about it and we'll put it as a post.
And the show notes.
The show notes, the link. That way everybody in the Patreon and Supercast can watch it.
Our big holiday party. We sing carols. I recite the.
Twas the night before Fuckmas.
Before Christmas.
Bring your children for this.
And all through the bathhouse.
Yeah. Y'all bring your kids.
My experience on Christmas Eve in a bathhouse.
Yeah. If you are very, very, very religious and don't like gay people, please watch this.
Yeah.
Bring
little tiny Tim too.
Little. He's not so tiny in Poodle's version.
That's your husband's butt plug.
Yeah.
He's not so tiny either.
Y'all, I exciting December 3rd, this Saturday, we're going to be at the Improv with Kate Casey.
Yes,
she's in the show. So go to our Linktree link and you can buy tickets for that.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
She texted us and I forgot.
I
thought we were going to try to do a collab with her, but I've got to message her because I don't know if we're going to have time.
I don't think so this week.
I don't think it's so already this busy. Week. But... we're still going to be there. We're excited to talk to her. Anyway, so, and hey, look, it's a bonus. It's actually going to be in a cute little intimate theater. So if you probably go to this theater, we'll be there. We'll hang out and talk to you afterwards. We'll be there.
Speak for yourself. You didn't get a VIP.
Poodle will be gone. He'll ask.
I leave immediately. Am I done? Are we done? It's great.
We Kate tells us goodbye.
Uber's here.
You even leave when the show's not over. She's still on stage, and you just walk out. Y'all think it's funny.
I got some weight on me.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
All right. Y'all, Kim and Usman, this is not fun at all. Like
no.
her mother has passed.
I didn't know what was happening. I didn't mean to. I was like, what's going on? Because the music was like, well, Mr. Morning.
It was.
I got the news. The ocean meets the sky. That's where we got the blues. And I went, what the fuck is going on? And
then mom died.
Then her mom died, which we knew this. So,
And this happened 2 to 3 weeks after she got back. So
I'm so grateful, though, she was home for it.
Yep.
That would have been horrible.
And she talks about smelling her gardenia perfume.
She does, which probably inspired Super Splash.
And she says, thank God I have Jamal. Y'all, can you imagine how needy she was with Jamal when her mom died?
I don't know what it would be like to go through it. I'm just grateful I have my brother. It would be hard to be like a soul kind of support. Because let's be honest, y'all. Jamal already takes care of his mom.
Yeah, he's... Yeah,
yeah, the parentified child for sure. So, but...
She does say, I feel like a part of me died with her because she'd been taking care of her mom for 8 years now.
She lived in her own house, in her grandmom's house. Jamal says, I don't know what he means by this, but he said, my grandma was not the traditional grandma, but I felt the love. So that maybe there was problems in that. Doesn't matter. We're not here to talk about his relationship with her.
What's interesting is she said, what do I do now? Her first response, and this just tells you who Kim is, y'all. Who do I take care of now? I mean, went, oh, honey.
It's, you know, I thought of her and I thought of myself of taking care of my dad's fake cancer. And I'm a people pleaser and a caretaker to my detriment, but not in this way. But I can't imagine it did help me see even a deeper level of Kim's pattern because... In a way, she wants to do that with Usman. But it's the perfect cliche, but true. She so isn't taking care of herself and her own needs that she's failing of trying to meet other people's needs.
And when she does try to take care of her needs, she only knows how to bully people into it or guilt them into it. Like, hold my hand, please.
Because she probably realizes... She goes in a shame spiral probably and feels stupid or guilty or bad about herself. So then she lashes out at the people around her.
You're right. It's the terrible pattern for her.
Kim, there you go. We just saved you about $10,000
in therapy. You can send us a check.
There you go. That's what you...
You won't.
You won't.
Because the thing is, honey, it would... She's a hard... I guarantee you, she'd be a hard nut to crack in therapy because she has fought and fought. There's also a little bit of that she thinks it's a feather in her cap to have done it all herself.
You know, and I think it's one of those things where...
Doesn't like to ask for help.
I think when she was younger, she got fucked over a lot by guys.
Oh, for sure.
And I think when you're going through that, when you're younger, you're kind of this... You're like, you know what? I'm in it right now. And because sometimes you can't process pain or because you've got to get through something. But the problem is that's fine to do that, y'all. Let your anger or whatever drive you. But
it'll catch up.
If you don't know, there's a point where you have to say, okay, I'm okay now, or at least I'm safe now. Let me kind of emotionally revisit that so I can work that out.
Or because that'll be part of the pattern that drove you and kept you safe, but now it's not working for you anymore.
Yeah, and it's going to cause what we're seeing in her dysfunction.
Yeah.
To put it mildly.
To put it mildly.
At the...
But Usman showed up. He's a good con.
He's so good. And she said, Jamal even said, Usman's making an effort by keeping my mom happy. And that's when she says, and this is when I knew this about her mom. She's like, now it's super important now that I got to get Usman to the States. Because... The next few episodes, y'all, are going to be intense for her because she's going to be even more needy. And it's going to... This is...
And now her and Usman, at least in her eyes, I don't know about his, they're trauma bonded. Because he really showed up and was there for her during the loss of his mom. And as she, you know, she said to... Before she talked to Usman, she was like, to Jamal, she said, now you're all I have. And Jamal even said, and Usman was really supportive of you. And he said he was really involved with mom and her passing. And then later, when Kim is talking to him, she's talking to Usman. And she thanks him. And Usman says, well, it's my duty. I love you. And you see, like, you just see a difference of, like, and I... Should make me happy, but when Kim talked to him, you could see how much she seemed committed and in love with him, and it made my stomach turn because I went, he's conned you real good now, honey. He can do anything he wants.
And when she told Jamal, you're all I have, and I think in a weird way, she thinks that might make him feel good because that would make her feel good. Y'all, you do no one any favors with saying, you're all I'm living for.
Well, especially your own child.
Especially your own child.
Because it's, again, y'all, you brought your child into this world. It's not their job to support or raise you.
So I would just say, if you in any way of logic where you think, yeah, you're the thing that makes me get up in the morning to tell your child that, don't do that to your kid. That's not good.
There's so much glitter on your face. Sorry, your glitter, my eyebrow. We're both like, can't focus.
You're spocking.
My spocking. I related to Kim.
I'll never buy more glitter ornaments. Y'all, I want to tell a story when we were talking about this. There was the one year Mother Poodle let us, my brother and I, buy icicles for our tree.
Have you ever seen those icicles? We used to have those as a kid, but ours were... plastic. They weren't glitter. They were just plastic.
No, they're plastic. Like plastic little things.
Uh-huh.
And like Mylar. They look like little Mylar things. And my mother said, absolutely not. Do you know how long I'll be cleaning those up? We asked and asked and asked. She's like, fine, but you're both vacuuming every other day. And we did. She's like, and there were still icicles all around the house. One of the dogs ate some of them.
Oh, wait.
Had to go.
Those icicles with the strings?
Yes.
Oh, no. My mother wouldn't buy them. I mean, these were like actual plastic.
No.
Icicles
that are just like really thin filaments.
Oh, I would never have those in my house because of
We begged my mother one year, and she finally said, fine. And then we've asked her from there. She's like, and we've asked one year, I think we were in middle school, and we're like, what are icicles? And my mother said, are you crazy? You lost your mind. I was cleaning those up until the next Christmas. One of the dogs had to go to the vet because he had eaten too many of them.
What dog was that?
That
Scone.
Was Scone.
Well, I don't know what she did to her dog.
No, that was Buddy, Bumpernickel. I think. That was the dog, Buddy.
What had been the iteration? Buddy? What have been
Buddy
all the-
and then Bruno was another
Bruno,
dog.
Bruno, okay. Like and our then, mascot.
Yes. But there were so many, and Bessie and Belle were others.
And then,
they're all bees.
And then Muffin, she just said, fuck it, I'm doing something different.
She did. She basically says, I'm done with those. She's good about breaking a tradition if she wants to.
Yeah.
I think she said, I've been hurt by too many dogs with bee names.
Muffin's not living forever.
Don't mention it, though. Well, if you're a robot dog in the zombie apocalypse,
well, that's
you
true.
Are.
You're going to live forever.
We got to go get some Diet Coke. Go to Master's Grocery. Kill the killed a zombie, Muffin.
It is a lot for Jamal in that, like Kim talks about, I know with my own father, that prompted me with my own weight loss and health journey and all that kind of stuff, because it's an existential thing. So Kim is like, I got to go to Twitter, got to lose the stomach, got to keep up.
Quit smoking.
I hope she does quit smoking.
I have a feeling that's going to be the hardest.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where, y'all, when you're quitting smoking, that's something you got to do for you. And I don't know if it is.
It might, though. She might be doing it for her, meaning she sees the writing on her own wall that this is how I'm going to die.
Yeah, I got it. It feels like another Kimberly 2.0.
I hope if she quits smoking, like, just start with that. I feel like she's trying to... She's not always a lovely person, don't get me wrong. She can be pretty horrible.
Kim, what do you mean?
But she's got enough on her plate, like quitting smoking, lose weight.
Yeah.
This is a lot.
She does call Usman, you guys, and she's like, I'm happy to see you. It's the same.
Like Kimbali.
And she kind of says, it's like crazy. I love you, and you love me. It's like a relationship.
She still doesn't believe it.
No.
Because she's a super fan. She still doesn't
believe
it, y'all.
A potential.
Because she's a super fan of him and a super 90 Day. Like a part of her still can't believe that she's on 90 Day Fiancé.
She can't believe it.
She probably goes to bed and goes, whoa, I can't believe I'm going to be on TLC tomorrow. Pinch me, Kimberly, pinch me. Ow.
I'm faking.
It's not that hard. I'm faking. Whoa.
So then he's like, so... I've been thinking.
Yes.
You know what? We didn't talk about this.
What?
But.
Oh, Jesus.
I think it's time for an episode of Reality Gaze Theater. Well, that was off as fuck.
What? It was
you
good.
No, it was good.
It was like
someone dropped a flute. And banged it out of shape. There were like fourths and seconds coming out.
I wanted to do something.
No, it was not good. So we know what to do, not to do now. Stick with what works. Thirds and sixths.
You know what? I wanted to do fourths.
I'm the music director of this podcast, and we'll do what I say.
Good I like the fourth.
Lord.
I thought it was pretty.
That was horrifying.
It sounded, you know.
No, it was bad.
Well, you know, I liked it.
Yeah, no more choices.
Exoticism or whatever they call it. I was doing that.
That's outdated. We don't say exoticism anymore.
Whatever. Yeah, what do they say now for music when they talk about that with
world influences?
World influences. I'm glad they don't say that anymore.
It's basically othering musics of other cultures.
Well, yes. Yeah. So that's the term they use. Mm-hmm. World influences. Good.
Yeah. Or they say this
because we learned there are Asian music. We learned
there are Asian music influences.
So they actually credit instead of this general.
They name it.
They name it. Good for them.
Yeah.
I was just talking about Madame Butterfly with someone, and they were asking about that, and I thought, well, that's exotic. And I thought
it's actually not as it's more complicated than that because. You could argue that Puccini's scales that he were using were all Asian influenced. That was at the time of, and it all he did lean into it for Turandot and Madame Butterfly.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, that's good.
I'm going to stop talking about this.
No, I enjoyed that because
I could go on and on. So
anyway,
I'm not going to.
Good. So don't say that.
Where were we?
Theater.
Oh God, I forgot what we were doing. So I'll be playing Usman. And you'll be playing.
All right, Flash fine. And Flash let Queen. Let me get my notes.
So, Kim.
Hey, hello.
I had an
hello,
idea
boyfriend.
The other
boyfriend.
Day.
We're boyfriends and now girlfriend.
I know.
Can you believe it? Whoa.
You know my brother Muhammad, right?
Yeah. He's the one that liked me. He liked me. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Like he's got a son.
Like oh yeah.
And you know, I was thinking.
What about a son? Does he need a present? Do you need me to get him a present for his birthday or something like
no
that?
No PlayStations, please.
No, I can send him some Super Blossom Body Splat. You can use it on adults. You can use it on children. Super Blossom Body Splat. It makes you smell young and youthful no matter what age you are. Ingest Super Blossom Body Splat. It will kill you.
Good for an airport bathroom.
Yes, great.
But
I sent him to Darcy, but she didn't call
me back. I'm going to adopt my brother's son.
Whoa.
didn't expect that one, did you?
I was not prepared for that. Whoa.
Because let's be honest.
What?
His children are all my children.
What?
And I haven't thrown enough at you yet.
Wait a minute. You just wanna take your brother's son?
Yeah, it's totally cool in my culture.
And bring him over here?
He'd be over here with us.
You want me to raise a baby?
Maybe? I'm not sure. I'm going to throw this out here to confuse you.
What? You want me what?
And to make you spiral more, because that's what I do. Because when you're in a chaotic state is when you're the most susceptible.
Usman, I just quit smoking today, Usman. I don't think
what I'm saying is don't quit your Mimi's job just yet.
I need to calm down. I need to calm down. Show me your yammy.
And scene. I think.
Did not see this. I did not.
I did not either. I think at this point.
I was going to ask you why.
He.
Why is he doing this?
Well, I have a theory.
Nigerian sissies, come at us, by the way. Is this normal for the. You say, hey, sis, you've got five.
No.
I got none. Let me just take one of your daughters.
I think it's more of an issue of opportunity. So sometimes, maybe they do legally adopt.
That's different.
I know, but it's different. It did.
We had Tarzal wanted to bring over her children,
right?
And then we also had what's their name? I think they've been fighting, but the UK sister,
Christine
and Sean wanted to bring over her kids.
This is different, though. This is him adopting his brother's child.
Yeah, we've never had someone saying, hey, I'm going to bring my cousin Leroy because I think he'll do better in California than Nigeria.
Well, what's interesting is, it was interesting the way he talked about it. He's like, I can't remember the kid's name. He's like, we're the same. We see each other.
M-A-D-H-I, Madhi.
Madhi. He sees me.
He's like, I'm very connected to this kid. I love him. We share blood.
So I assume,
as my dad said, Matthew got to be blood.
When you had a baby,
when he told me he wanted me to have a baby, I've talked about that. Maybe
yes,
I have.
Yeah. It still disturbs me though.
When I said, Dad, he's like, Matthew's time for a little Matthew, and I said, well, Dad, I can adopt a baby. He's like, no, son, it's got to be blood. Got to be blood.
I can pretty much assure you, I think my mother would be happy any time a child was mine. Maybe she wouldn't.
I think at this point, if you said, Mom, I'm going to have a kid, she'd go, God, Jaber, why you want to do that?
Probably.
That's probably what she would do.
You know your life will be over. Mine was.
Why would you do this to me now when I'm old? I can't run around with a grandbaby.
You should have seen my body before I had children.
You would have got me when I was 16.
Look at me in this bikini. My mother still has a picture readily available.
My mother has never shown me a picture of her in a bikini.
Oh, my mother.
I don't want to see
my
that.
My mother had a tiny bathing suit she wore. My mother was a slut. I am sure of it.
Where you get it from?
Maybe. That's where we get it from. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon.
It's too sad. It's too
sad. Little boy blue and the man in the moon.
So this is where I'm stumped on this.
How does
this help Usman?
It's because for the that's what's confusing. Because I think what he's thinking is he'll have a child and the mom will look at that child as blood. So he'll say, well, Usman has a child to raise now. Now I can die.
And I guess that was what I was thinking, because then that will solve the problem. Because I'll be honest, I don't think Usman wants his own. I don't think
absolutely not.
His.
You're just coming to this.
No, we've actually never said that on the show.
No, he'd never. never. He doesn't want to.
Like
kids.
I've always known that. I never think he wants to have kids. He we, but we never have actually kids? Said it. I don't think.
No.
He's only doing this for his mom.
Yes.
He wants to get married. He wants to go to America. And he wants to be a U.S. and Nigerian citizen
yeah.
and travel back and forth and be an international superstar. Yeah. He does not want children.
And he wants to.
Or
barely,
if he does, he's got 20 years to think about children
and
not
barely
fucking now.
Acknowledge them.
Exactly. And bear. And this, I think he says, wait a minute. This will keep my mom happy.
And
this
is a
keep
kid that
Kimberly
I already
happy.
And it's a kid that I already like.
It's not a baby.
Yeah.
He can travel and feed himself and wipe his own ass.
Yeah.
And it makes my potential wife happy because
he
then I don't have to have a first wife that I have to fuck and impregnate.
Right. And I think he's miscalculating how much Kimberly actually wants a child. Because she said, well, she has a child, so she definitely knows how to raise a child.
Honestly, I agree.
God, are you a camel? You went through that real quick.
You have barely the same amount of the water that I have.
Oh, maybe you're right. I don't give a shit.
Who
cares?
I honestly think, Kimberly, this is your best offer.
I agree. It
this
is the
offer, best of both worlds for you.
It's sad that that's where we are now. We're in bargaining. We are in that stage of grief.
Because, Kimberly, this is what's going to happen. You're going to adopt the kid. Or he's going to adopt the kid. The kid will come over. You'll fall in love, possibly even like the kid. Then the mom's going to die. The kid's going to go off and do whatever they want to do or even go back to Nigeria. And Usman's never going to see this kid again.
Yeah.
And Kimberly either, depending on what type of person she is, will never see that kid again or will get very attached to that kid because her relationship with Usman is shit
and then put all of herself into that kid. I think it's that.
I'm worried
I
it's
think
that.
It's that. And that's even more tragic. Ugh. And again, and also it feels familiar to her because raising another black child.
Yeah, because that's what she raised
them all. I'm telling you, I could so see that happening. I can just, that's the future, which is sad.
But I think it's her best offer. I think it is the least emotionally treacherous path for her than having a first wife. Y'all, there's no way she could handle that.
No. Y'all, don't worry, though. This is all going to implode within a season or two.
It's probably never going to get there.
No. Y'all, later
Although, maybe.
She's taking him to an African restaurant.
Having Nigerian.
Like, has some samosas.
This look good.
We don't have.
I know there's Ethiopian food by Fairfax.
We don't have
but
a
I've
lot of African food in general. Maybe they're calling African food kind of Pan-African. Where it's like from different parts of Africa.
But this looks specifically, they were talking about Nigerian.
We have Ethiopian down here. There is also a Nigerian restaurant in Little Ethiopia.
Oh, there
but
is.
I've seen it.
Oh,
yeah. But Ethiopian. We have a huge Ethiopian community here.
I do love samosas.
I love Ethiopian food.
I do love samosas.
So
right by Hanson's Bakery though. So
y'all
can't get those cupcakes.
They're basically, and Jamal says, as a millennial, this is fire.
This shit is fire.
I know. People
as a
say
therapist
that.
Would say, what's behind the tears? I want to say, Poodle, what's behind that sigh?
This is fire. It's emoji culture, because that would be fire.
And behind like, that is this is the loss of language.
Words. And being able to express yourself. That's where I am.
I agree with you.
I think that's fine. But I'm just saying it's...
There's going to be a day, y'all, where people write term papers with emojis.
You're not wrong.
I did respect Andy Cohen just a little bit
not
more.
Not complete emojis.
When he completely read
Tosh's
emoji letter.
Like, emoji question mark? Andy Cohen's disgusted face.
Yeah,
he should have. I'm telling you, if you've never watched when she was on Watch What Happens Live, he tried to come for her and she just shut down. So I know why she didn't go to Watch What Happens to the reunion.
So Kimberly, so they're eating food and Kimberly's like, well. So he talked to me about he wants to adopt his brother's son. And Jamal said, So what? You would raise a child, and Kim was like, yeah, yeah, this is normal. This is normal. This is normal, Jamal.
That's the thing. She becomes the convincer in chief.
Yeah, and Jamal just is sitting there going, his yeah. pretty little eyes look so shocked.
He looks so good.
Did you know what he said? Well, I'm having problems. He's like, I'm going to have to trust your instincts, but this is a lot.
This is a lot. And he also says, so when you're 70, that kid will be 18.
He's like, yeah, that's right. Yep, that's right. Yep, that's right. Yep. That's
and Jamal's like, okay. So he was having a second wife. You were going to be the second wife. You were going to have the baby. But now you're going to adopt. And so that's when he said, this is a lot. It was because to hear him lay, he laid out for like 3 minutes all
and
the hoops.
None of it penetrated.
Through.
That's what I'm saying with her in therapy. I think oh, she would yeah. be the hardest nut to crack.
Oh, I think so.
I think.
And he said in his ITM in the moment, he said, you know, this is not a fucking dog. This is a baby.
A child. Yeah, it's a child.
It's hot when he cusses.
Yeah, we need to move on. Y'all, before we do that, we're going to take a little break. We'll see you on the other side of that.
Ooh, I'll be a dog, Jamal.
Okay, stop it. Stop it.
Poodle, I got to tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No, see... Now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Glitter on your couch.
Where?
There's glitter all over your couch. Kind of actually where the semen used to be.
Why?
Now there's
Why?
Glitter.
Why?
Y'all, we were interrupted at a commercial break by what, Poodle?
A phone call from Mother Poodle.
Mother Poodle's call.
Well, and when I said, yeah, Mom. And I this is where I made the mistake. You probably heard it, and I said immediately, I said it and I regretted it because
what'd you say?
I said, "Hey, Mom, what's up? We're recording a podcast. What do you need?" Her tone complete. Well,
when I
I'm just sitting here. Your dad's already gone to bed, and just a little bit lonely, maybe. She said that. A little bit long. It's fine. I'll talk to you tomorrow. No, and I said, I can call you back. Oh, no, no, no. I'm going to bed. It's fine. Y'all get, and you said, hi, Vicky. Sorry. Hi, Mother Poodle.
Uh-huh.
And she went, hi, Matt. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I love you.
When?
I can't believe I said, what do you need? I thought it was something that she was needing because I
you know what, that's validation a little bit from the few times I'll be doing something. I'll say, because when I get busy with something and if you call me and I'm in the middle of something, if I answer, I'm like, hey, what's up, it makes you
don't
furious.
Even say hello.
No, I'll say hello. I'll just be
barely.
Like, hey, what's up, And if I say that, you're like, well, I'm sorry I bothered you.
I'm sorry for inconveniencing you.
So I'm sorry that happened to you, but you come by it honestly, we see. You shouldn't have said that, though. You should have known better.
I should have. As soon as it left my mouth, y'all, don't say what do you need to your parents. I said it without not even thinking, and I'm going to pay for that tomorrow. I can already see. She'll have saved up about 4 stories to tell me.
Might Yikes. Just send her flowers tomorrow.
Fuck, though. I'm coming home.
Wow. How many days are you going home again?
11. It's going to be... But hopefully I can get it to where she's kind of annoyed me being in her house.
That is never going to happen.
No, no. I'll get in her space and she'll get annoyed with me.
But she loves you so yeah. much.
But y'all, we've talked about where she... A lot of you came at me and said, my mother makes... Or my people freeze our onions and stuff like that for the trash. And... She does do that, but I can't put anything in the trash that smells at all. It's not, they're like, text in the summer. I'm like, it's not that. She's just that neurotic.
Boy, you got a lot of messages about things people put in their trash.
Oh, yeah. People are smell freaks who listen to us.
I was reminded with my mom over Thanksgiving that my mother is OCD about the dishwasher. I was loading it. I do it too. That's what she yelled at me about when I was a kid, is I would load the dishwasher wrong.
Was it, I pre-rinse though. Does she do that?
I mean, you take the food off of it, but you don't have to, she is a super nice dishwasher, so it'll clean, actually clean.
I pre-rinse them. I'm just like.
But no, it's how you load it in the, I would load the dishwasher and my mom just. Literally, at one point, I was going down to hold a knife, and she just took it from my hand and just started moving stuff around and doing it the way she likes.
Well, what? No, you put the silverware cup facing up, obviously.
Yes, but she's got her way to do it.
And I do plates over here and bowls and then mugs and cups.
But in the little thing, she likes all the spoons to be together, all the forks to be together. I was just putting
them in there.
That's
a little much.
She's got her way.
So it's easier to put them away?
It makes sense, but that's her way. I wasn't offended because I don't live there. But it actually made me laugh because it reminded me of when we used to fight when I was a teenager. And I'd go, fine, mother. My mom hated it if I called her mother. That's what I would say when I was mad.
We need to move on.
Once I said, fine, mother. And she's like, don't you call me mother. It makes you sound like a sassy little girl.
And that's what I am, mother.
That's what I am.
Wow. I was about to say, you sound like a sassy little girl when you say that, too.
She hated when I said it.
Jovi and Yara, speaking of sassy little girls.
I forgot about them.
Y'all, crank up the beer organ. Karina, we're seeing her friend Karina, and she's like, Jovi, take Myla. I'm going to see Karina. And there she is, and I'm like, Yara said basically, it's just such a relief to see her alive. And we find out that a rocket, right after she left, a rocket went into Karina's building. I'm glad she got out.
We're fine.
I know.
My mom doesn't like the way I do the dishwasher. Your mother's lonely. We'll be okay.
I liked it too when Karina said, I can't believe you have a child, because when I met, we were like talking about what guys we wanted to fuck.
Yeah, that didn't go good. So they're crying. They see one another. And then... Even I love it that Yara's like, she's like, I see Karina. I don't need to worry about stuff. She's like, but I'm still complaining a lot.
Well, she said, I'm not ready. I don't know.
She said, I don't need to worry about stuff. And then she kind of said, like a fucking stand-up
comedian.
She's
like, I still complain.
She even turned her head and said it in a side like, I still complain a lot. Yucky, yucky. And I guffawed, laughed.
She's funny.
And
then she feels guilty.
And Joey's like, yeah, I like Karina because like she speaks English. So he's just like, that's the kind of girl I like.
He doesn't talk a different language in front of me. By the way, where are they again in Germany?
Garmisch.
Oh, it looks beautiful.
Yeah. Lot of ski towns in that area of Germany. Mm. But Garmisch is one of the most famous ones. Yeah.
So they go to breakfast. Milo looks real cute at the little table. Yeah. So the waitress comes up, and that's where Jovi's like,
let's have two beers.
And the waitress even says,
for breakfast?
Ahead. Yeah, she says, beers for breakfast? Jovi.
Frühstück?
Jovi, why you want to get beers at breakfast? Well, I'm on vacation, y'all.
This is the best beer. I can't get this kind of beer in the U.S., okay? Yara?
Jovi can't stop being Jovi. He's just Jovi and Yara.
I like Karina said, I didn't really think they were a good match because both of them are very stubborn. That is extremely astute.
Yes.
And both of them are very stubborn.
And Yara's mom's wearing a y'all t-shirt.
A sweatshirt that says y'all.
A y'all. You know that Jovi got her that.
Oh, yeah. She's just loving it.
She's loving
just
it.
Just sitting there like this with a shirt on that says y'all. Joey's like, I got mom, I got you a shirt. You're gonna love it. That's actually, like we say y'all all the time.
That we do all the time. That could be on our merch. Just y'all.
Y'all. That could be on our merch. We need to not say it maybe as much. Probably. That's not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen.
Y'all. I think that was one of our reviews one time. They say y'all like so many times, like y'all.
Yeah, that person can sit on it. That's what I think. By the way, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts, wherever you listen
please,
to it.
Please.
Hold my hand. Please.
So I can now have to say the word please. I constantly go,
please.
In a baritone, booming Kim's baritone.
So they...
speak English, please.
Yeah, they're talking.
I get very upset like a toddler when people speak other languages in front of me.
And Yara says, Jovi, I'm saying that you need to work, but I would love to stay here. And that's where we get into this, where Jovi tries to say, basically, we don't need to go word for beat by beat. I think the important thing to know, I gleaned from this, is... Jovi's saying that I don't want you to stay here because I'm worried about the war moving. You're in Europe. Da da da. I think that's about 10% true. Yeah. I think 90% is true that he and Yara calls it out on this episode. She says he knows I have all this support here, and yeah. If I stay here, I don't need him.
I think it's more like 70-30. You said 10%.
I do think it's that little.
I think he doesn't know what it could be.
That's fair.
Because he knows very little, even though he's traveled around the world, he knows very little about geopolitics.
True.
So he just assumed there's a war in Ukraine, so it's going to spread to Europe. That's how wars work, Yara.
It's like the flu.
Yeah. But I think you're right. What I don't...
Can Grindr just hush while we're doing our podcast, please? Boy.
I can't help if the milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. So he basically says, she says, he's like, I don't get comfortable. I don't feel comfortable with you staying here. It's like, we come as a family and we're going to leave as a family. And like his friend Tyler just goes, yeah. With his fucking date rape face he's got on him.
But then Yara and Joe, Yara says, oh, so if the war comes here, Thomas, you can protect us, right? She starts telling, and Joby doesn't get it, but she's basically saying how ridiculous and ill-informed his argument is.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think what only thing that gave him more evidence or mere evidence, more ammunition was her mom starting to cry. And he's like, don't cry. I think that's more evidence for him saying your mom wants you to stay here. Because he's only saying it as your friends and family are against me. It's very convenient for him to use that because he needs to see the world as an adversary kind of place.
Also,
for him.
Jovi, I think we've said this before about him, but if not, it can bear repeating. He's very sensitive.
Oh yeah,
he won't admit it, but he's very so he takes anything that's even everything not personally. Yeah. And that, if you think about it, that's where a lot of their fights happen. Is he takes everything so personally? Yara's Ukrainian. She does not take things personally.
Situationally.
Yeah, situationally. So, and that is where he feels dropped by her a lot.
What I took from this is he doesn't trust her.
He doesn't.
I've said this is fraudacity, y'all. I think they have amped up the drama here.
Yeah, Mama's saying, please, Jovi, please let her come over here.
But I do think the fact that what's real is the lack of trust that he has in Yara, because there is a part of him that thinks she will just stay in Europe and he won't get to see his child again.
Yeah.
Even though she can't, I think it is just irrational for him. And because he sees anyone who's not an American as someone who looks down on Americans. He even talked that way. I'm American, by the way a lot of Americans think, because we down other countries because we don't like them looking down on us.
Yeah.
It's that kind
of... Yeah, it's like, let's shoot you in the foot first.
He feels that way. And I think if he let her stay in the Ukraine while if a month happened, which I don't know if he's still going to do that. If he would do that, it would show such an outpouring of trust for her. The other thing is, I don't think she really trusts him, and I think they have a real problem here.
And you know what? I know there's money, so there's that. But if you're really worried about it. Like, let her go. Let her have time with her mom.
Yeah.
And then maybe, I think this could be a beautiful gesture. Maybe then Jovi, when he finishes work, could meet her. And what even if, like, Mama Gwen came over to meet her mom? To meeting of the families.
I totally agree. I don't think that either of these people are going to bend enough for that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'm more concerned about the fact that neither of these people seem to trust one another enough to have thousands of miles between them. She trusts when he goes to work, when he's with other, but she, in her head, the idea of trusting enough for him not to leave her when she has a child for someone who's hotter.
Well, I think that's what I was going to say. I think this is emotional for Jovi. I think it's his own feelings of being not enough and feeling and feeling like basically that he married out of his league.
He did.
And probably a lot of him thinks in the back of his head, which is probably true, that had they not had a baby, Yara would have left him already.
I kind of understand that.
Happens what we see in the next week on when he says to her, let's have another baby. Because y'all, he wants to lock her down.
It's just such a cliche. But this idea of having a baby,
he says, will strengthen our family. I went, no, it won't.
I was supposed to save their marriage.
No, it's you want her back, barefoot and pregnant in the U.S. so that way you can control the situation,
right? And with two children, you can't. It's harder for you to leave.
It's harder for her to leave. Yeah, because Yara, how is she going to travel with two young children by herself to her country? Yeah. Please, I hope Yara doesn't do it.
I don't think she will.
What a fucker to even dare to ask that.
I think that even feels slightly out of Jovi's reach. It feels a little bit gilding the lily to me.
They're the one storyline where even if Michael and Angela are fraudacity, it makes sense. It tracks. It's on brand.
Yeah.
But this is like, where are we going with this?
I don't know.
It feels like we took a different turn. And like, if you really want, I know you want to obviously go back to, but her mom could get an asylum visa.
Yeah, but she doesn't
want to
leave.
I'm not saying that it's easy to pick up and leave your life. Mm-hmm. But if you want to have more children and you want time with your mom, like, maybe she could get a visa and come over. I don't know, though. Then she would have to be here for 10 years.
I don't know the particulars of an asylum visa.
I think we are trying to create more drama with them this season than things feel flimsy.
Yeah.
And that's what things are starting to feel flimsy with me for them this season. Let's talk about where we've been flimsy for several seasons.
Michael.
Because now it seems like everything's okay. And in a way, now Michael
give it time,
is angry.
Because Jake, it's the last week of November. Don't forget, we're going to be doing this until January.
I don't know. I actually get a sick feeling in my stomach when I think about that.
You know what probably is going to happen? At least maybe it'll be three tell-alls. Like Single
I think
Life.
It will be.
Single Life is three tell-alls.
I think it'll be three tell-alls.
And you know what? I was like, there is no way Single Life could be three tell-alls. And then after seeing the first episode.
But it's only 42 minutes.
It's only 42 minutes. And with everything that happened, I want to see two more.
So, y'all, we are swimming, we're getting Michael's brand new swimming lessons. Every time he swims, it's like that. Was it the Martin Short, Harry Shearer's SNL synchronized swimming skit where he's like dying?
Yeah.
The way Michael swims, he hasn't had a lot of lessons.
It's kind of adorable because he's seeing an adult looking like a 5-year-old.
He's still afraid he's going to die.
Yeah,
in the water.
My dad, when he was learning,
he learned to swim.
When he was like 40, my age, like 43 years old.
And it looked like he was about to die.
Oh, he put on, we used these, but he would put on little floaties on his arm.
I'm sure it is a fear.
Oh, yeah, he could touch in the pool. Still wore floaties. Like, he was so scared.
Isn't that interesting? Because for me, I think I just grew up swimming. And I never had a fear of the water.
That's why we did, because my son ain't ever going to be afraid of the water. But yeah. I didn't have a dad to take me swimming like you do.
Wow. Thanks.
Thanks, Dad.
So, y'all, they are, and at one point she says, hold, Mommy. And then I threw up in the trash can. He's holding her. She's vibrating her coochie.
I remember doing that. I do remember
your coochie.
My coochie. Michael, if you lean up on the pool like this, it vibrates. We used to do this girl vibrate her coochie.
Wow.
I do remember it would kind of vibrate. It would tickle cool in the gang.
Yikes. Don't ever talk about that for me ever again. But she does say, I feel sexy, I feel hot.
I feel sexy, I feel sexy.
Don't ever do that again either.
I can't sing anymore like that. I'll just start
talking. And he gives her some champagne and roses and a bracelet. I don't know when this was filmed, but he must have had to go really quickly. Because it seems like this was all filmed sequentially.
But yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. He's like, I want to make it romantic with her before I talk about Billy and Canada.
It's in a way, he's extremely, I think it's one of the reasons they have made it this long is he is very calculated in the way he needs to bring things up with her. Mm-hmm. And it's the only way to deal with someone like Angela.
It is.
So, y'all, they are going to talk. She says, I needed to believe. What is it? She's like, this is what I needed to believe that I haven't had for so long. And he says, kind of buttering her up, she's like, so look, I don't want you to go to Canada. And, y'all, the thing about this is.
He actually said first, just because it is very important how he says things. He said, it would make me happy. If you did not go to Canada.
Right.
So he actually smartly didn't talk about what she
preventing.
He said about his. Not what she does at all.
She still heard, I don't want you to go to Canada, though.
Which he doesn't. But Angela would say, Michael.
You're not going to
Canada.
You're
not going to Canada.
Yeah, that's exactly what she would do.
He did not do that.
And then she's like, but Michael, I want to help him. He's fighting for his life.
She wants to cook for him and help him. And she says he's a really good person. He doesn't even know I have a crush on him.
Right. And
so, she decides, well, let's call Billy now.
So they call him. He, I guess he's in his car. He looks, maybe it's his kidney issues and kidney failure. He looks older than last time we saw him.
He does.
Maybe it's the lighting. He's not well.
Maybe time moved.
And he's like, hey, Angel. And do I believe that they struck up a friendship? I here's this. What I
believe. She was a hospice nurse.
Yeah,
so
what I believe
that.
Is Angela has a heart for lost causes. If something is so desperate, it has to it when it has those high stakes against it, she actually does want to help.
I bet Angela's someone that takes in hurt dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean literally like hurt dogs. I could see her doing that.
And the thing about
Are we recording? We are. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry. The light was gleaming. I think there's glitter on the camera
now.
Why? I couldn't see the red light.
When the stakes are so high against someone, she thinks, what else do I have?
Mm-hmm.
I know they're probably going to go sometime, but I can help them. That's why she chose hospice.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something where she has to make a decision, that would be the worst thing.
And she says she loves doing that. Like she told me in that when she sent me that Instagram message in the voicemail, she said, I'll wipe your dad's ass. I love doing it.
Yeah. It's something about when it gets so bad, it couldn't get worse.
Yeah.
So I know what I'm getting.
I you know what? I want to add to that. I think, too, that's when Angela in her life didn't have someone to depend on.
Yep.
When things couldn't get worse, she felt alone and had to do it herself.
Right.
And so she wants to be that person for them.
No, that makes sense. And then, so he said, he says, I'd love to meet Michael. And Michael says, do you know my wife has a crush on you? She's like, oh, Michael, well, I can't believe
but
what
she
said.
She enjoys it.
She does. Yeah.
She enjoys it a little bit.
I think she is slightly embarrassed when he asks him, because then it makes her feel like she would presume. And I would expect him to say, Michael, I'm gay.
That's what I thought he was going to say. Michael, I don't have a crush on Angela because I'm gay.
I'm gay. And he said, I adore your wife, but I don't have a crush on her. And he's like, why do you call her Angel? And I think this is African culture. This is
but the
no
same that Angela didn't understand.
I agree.
It's turnabout. It's fair play.
Because like, why is she my person?
Why? And Angela didn't even try to understand any of that. So I'm kind of like, why should Michael understand?
I agree.
Why?
But I'm saying.
But you're right. He calls her an angel because he explains because she's been such a guiding force and helpful in my life and
right.
helping me raise money. Yeah.
And he says, I do dialysis. And Billy says she's always presented herself respectfully. And he's like, I wouldn't have any time to do because I do dialysis 5 days a week, 7 hours a day. You know, and he's like, Angel's from a place of kindness. And she looks at my, you brought me misery and he brought me smiles. And she said, you can't stop me. If you want to leave me, go ahead. But I'm going to help. This is just another part of her work, her life. Like this is what she needs to do. And it's weird how I think it would be too much for Michael to let his wife do that. And it's like hard to me. Like,
do you think he should have a problem with it, or do you think he should let her go?
I think I don't know what he should do. I think if Angela really leveled with Michael and said, or maybe he wouldn't see it, leveled with him and said, "I need to do this because I take care of people. He's my friend. He's going to die soon. I'm going to be with him to the end." But I think because of her being
she might say that off camera. I don't think she wants to say that on camera.
No, it's yeah. But I think she's I think he would let her. I think she's going to.
I think, I honestly think in this situation, what we're seeing in the edit,
yeah,
what we're seeing just on our television, I agree with Michael.
She should not go.
I don't think she should go.
Mm-hmm.
Because would she let him? And it's not a tip for tap, but it is when, what happens, y'all, when you set a boundary that's an unrealistic boundary and expectation, you start to create precedence in your relationship.
I agree with that, yeah.
And Angela has created this precedent. So Michael's saying, but if I let her do this, I can never do anything. And also, basically, I'm, like he said this entire season, I'm giving her all the control.
Yeah.
And she's punishing him. She's taking away from him to make money.
I agree. I guess for me, I can't see it as it is tit for tat. And for me, in a relationship, it shouldn't be tit for tat.
100%. But I think she should be able to go personally.
I know. I'm that's what I'm saying. I don't think you're saying in their relationship, it's so weird because if he doesn't let her go, it's going to seem cruel on his point.
Oh, she'll punish him forever.
Yeah, even though it's actually, it's only what she did to him even worse.
Yes.
And or even less than that. Less. Even less than what he did.
And honestly, to him. It's really shitty of Angela to put him in this position.
I agree. But it is, I think this was obviously, she's made it up. I think this is a double-edged sword. What this does is it sticks it to Michael, but it also helps her Florence Nightingale complex.
I also think it what Angela probably wanted, it puts Billy on the show and helps raise awareness.
Yeah.
So she's thinking hopefully she can talk on her Instagram and raise money for him.
Right. Because they, if you look at her Instagram, y'all, they do TikToks.
Because that's the weird thing with Angela. I know a lot of people have problems. We have a lot of problems.
We have a
with
lot
her.
Of problems with her.
And I don't want to say she has a good heart, because I think a lot of times, honestly, she doesn't. She has a lot of fucked upness in that heart. But there's this like part of her. Maybe it's like the Grinch heart that, but it hasn't grown yet. But there's this part of her though that really wants to. It, you know what it is? I think honestly, like you've talked a lot, Angela is just. It's like a bacon wrap date. I'm hungry.
I don't know where you're going with this.
And the date is the goodness. But Angela is just wrapped.
But the bacon's good too.
This might not be a great analogy.
It's not.
But the bacon is the hurt. Angela is that date.
Bacon never hurts.
Well, it's not good for you.
That's true.
Got you on that one.
Yeah, but there's some things that are good about it.
So Angela is wrapped.
Maybe it's a poop colored date.
Roll covered with date. It's sure. She is covered in this bacon poop, whatever. You know,
no, just poop.
If you're vegan, you
don't
like bacon.
Soil bacon.
She is covered in this. She's so covered in her hurt that underneath, I do think she wants to. I do think Angela just wants to be loved and put love into the world.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that
she
her.
Doesn't know how to do it.
Don't come at, but I think that is who Angela is at the core. I don't know if I would say the same for someone like Kimberly or Usman.
Yep.
I don't think I would say the same even for Bilal. Someone like Bilal for sure. I wouldn't say that about Andre.
Nope.
I wouldn't say that about a lot of people that we see on this show.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the reasons why part of us, probably up until this season,
last season.
Or
two.
Last season, too. You rooted for Angela because we saw, we get glimpses of that goodness. But now it's just, at this point, it's just, even we're off the bus on this one.
She's dug herself something too deep. I think she's become closer to the persona she is on the show. She's going towards that persona. She's found a persona.
That Jerry Springer persona.
Yep.
Y'all guess
which
guess
she was
what?
On.
Guess what's going to happen on the tell-all? She's going to get angry and walk off.
Yep. Yep. And then probably yell at... It would be interesting to see her yell at Bilal. I wouldn't get mad about that.
We'll talk about it. We've got a long road for that, but it will be interesting to see... Who comes for Bilal?
Yeah. because we've now seen all of his season.
I wish,
and they watch y'all. They watch every single episode.
I only wish this is when I wish Tiffany and or Veronica were on this season.
They would get
they
it
would,
to Bilal.
They would fucking come for him.
Yeah. Even though Tiffany has no room to talk.
I don't think Libby will. I don't think Libby will come for him.
She won't. They might. The both of them might sit over there and kind of make fun of him. Oh, that's right.
Yara might. Jenny.
Kimbali.
Jenny doesn't even know what she's happening.
Kimbali
might. She probably will come for him. Because y'all, she's a super fan. Remember, she shows up in the tell-all. Anyway, but you know what? I shouldn't talk about the tell-all
now. Distracting me.
Because it's going to get you excited and start thinking that the end. But the end is not nigh. The end
end
is
the
far,
show.
Far away, y'all.
I hate you.
That's the show. See us December 3rd in Los Angeles at the Improv with
Kate
Casey.
It's a long
Casey.
Episode.
Yes, well.
You talked about Christmas trees too much.
You got me on a soapbox. All right, everybody. Go to realitygaze.com. It's not porn anymore. Shout out to the Sissy Squad 10,000.
10,000.
Yay, that's
10,007 now. As of today.
Seven.
I knew you were going to do that.
We call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places, Poodle?
Yes. And if you can't wait to adopt your brother's son.
Or you know what? If you have glitter all over your face and you look like you just got fucked by Santa's lead elf.
How did I get glitter on my face?
Call us.
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Small details or big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.